The Lord has really been speaking to Nell and I this last couple of weeks about really fixing our eyes on Him and doing what He's asked us to do, fulfilling His role and call in our lives. And you know what? It's so important. And I will share with you as we go on this morning why that is so important. We've all been handed one of these bookmarks. And sitting and we're reading that to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. Go and partner with the Holy Spirit. And when I get home in the evenings, there's a book I've been reading, and the Lord's really caught my attention in this book. But I've kept this bookmarker in there. And every time I open it, I read this. And God's been bringing revelation to me in an amazing way, just through these words, to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to make Him known, and to go and partner with Him. And a little later on into my message, I'm going to share with you about a man in the Bible that fulfilled this word exactly. He fulfilled it exactly. And Jesus is calling us here today as His people and His army to walk in fulfillment of this. Amen? God's word for us is to make Him known. It's about partnering with the Holy Spirit. Mark's been talking and he's been taking us through a series of teachings. Abide in Me. And I want to look at this in a different way this morning. I want to come from a different angle. So I want to ask you as a church, as a family today, how do I know God, or how do I get to know Him? How do I know God? How do I know Jesus, and how do I get to know Him? Maybe you'll say to me today, yes, it's through prayer. It's through reading His word. It's the gathering of the saints where we get together in our worship together as a family on a Sunday morning, even maybe on a Wednesday evening. Maybe it's in my quiet times. These things, they're all good and they're great. For me personally, I need to come to a place of knowing Him and not about Him. And I think for many of us, we know about Jesus, but we don't really know Him. And I want to speak to you how we get to know Jesus. How are we coming to that place of intimacy with Him? When Mark's been talking about abide, what does the word abide mean? It means to conform, to remain, to live with, and to accept without objection. The word of God says that apart from Me, you can do nothing. And that is so true. Without Jesus, we'll become empty and clanging cymbals. We'll end up just making noise. What does the word apart mean? It means away from. When I'm away from Jesus, what am I doing? I'm doing my own thing. I want to read to you again John 15, and we're going to read from verse 4. And Mark's read it to you last week, and that was about the true vine. There's one word that I want to point out to you. I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in Me as I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. Um, In some of the translations, I want to read another, a different translation for you. Verse 8, this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Prove to be my disciples. So for me, that word prove talks about proof. So what is the proof of a disciple of Jesus Christ? And we read it before. That's the fruit that comes from walking in what Jesus has called us to. Amen. So I need to be producing fruit in my life. If I'm not producing fruit, what is the proof? What can I show that I'm walking close to Jesus and I'm connecting to him and fulfilling what he's asked me and called me to do? The above scripture talks about obedience. When I become a child of God, I was immediately adopted as a child of the King. And for me, that means that the King's business now becomes yours and my business. So he wants to bring you and me into the middle of his activity. I shared with you about 2 months ago, and I brought it out in the prayer meeting that, you know what, when we study to drive a car, we go through the process where we learn all the rules of the road, and that's the theory side of it. But there comes a time where we need to walk away from the theory, and we actually need to get into that car and we need to start driving it. So we're practicing everything that we've learned and that we've studied. I can study that manual over and over and over again. Until I climb in that car and start driving it, I'm not going to have the full experience of everything that I've learned and I've studied. Amen? Jesus said in John 17:3, eternal life is not knowing about God. He was talking about firsthand experiential knowledge. So what is it? We come to know God by experiencing him. We come to know God by experiencing him. I believe for many of us, we've never had that personal connection. We give our lives and we become part of a church community. And for many of us, it stops there. We often have a sense of divine purpose, but we've never experienced Jesus' love firsthand. A little while ago, I sat next to a couple, and we just started talking. And we were talking church, and then he said to me, they're going to New Zealand as a couple. I said, oh, no, that's great. What has God called you to, and where are you going? No, we're just going. Because we feel that we've got this call on our lives. And I asked him, has the Lord really spoken to you, and do you have a word? Has God given you a word that you can stand on and that you can walk on? No, we just called. We feel that we called, and we're going to go. And often we need to be careful in situations like that. Our hearts can deceive us. We've got the zeal to jump in and to do things for Jesus. But that we need to stand on his word. We need to have a promise from him, a word that we can walk out knowing that Jesus has secured us and that we're safe in his arms in what he's called us to. Doing God's will. In John 4:34, Jesus said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do his will and to finish his work. And I must stress to you today, it's his work and not ours. It's his work and not ours. We often ask the question, I've done this myself. Lord, what is your will for my life? Have you done that? Yeah. Lord, what's your will for my life? However, I feel that we should be asking, God, what is your will? What is your will? It's not about us, and it's all about him. Did you know that by nature, we are selfish people? Yeah. By nature, we are selfish people. That's why often we ask, Lord, what is your will for my life? It should be, God, what is your will? We believe that everything evolves around us. We view the world in terms of our own lives. But once I know God's will for my life, I begin to gain perspective in everything that he's calling me to. So, Robbie, could you put that picture on? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, experiencing God. I can know about him. But only when I'm experiencing him do I truly know him. And how do I do that? How do I do that? And I'm going to give you an example of quite an amazing man that walked out and followed God. And he started experiencing the fullness of God in everything that he did. The man I'm talking to you this morning about is Moses. And you can read with me from Exodus 3, 1 to 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to start off from there. Exodus 3, 1 to 17. You all there? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I want to stop there. So we see that Moses was in the fields tending the sheep. I firmly believe that in that time, when he was out in the desert and he was looking after these sheep, they were spending time with God. I believe that time that he spent in the desert tending the sheep, he was asking God about his people that were in captivity in Egypt. And that's why God was able to get his attention with that burning bush. If you're spending time with God in his word, if you're spending time with God and you're trying to get into that place of intimacy with him, it'll be easier for you to get your attention. Like God got Moses' attention through the burning bush. You know what? He could have missed it there. Moses could have missed it. And he would have ended up always just tending the sheep in the desert. He had many reasons why he couldn't do what God was asking him to do. And eventually he relents to go. This is the important thing. To go where God is working. I really need you to listen to that. To go where God is working. The problem for many of us, and like I said to you earlier, Lord, what is the will, your will for my life? We're asking God to come and work in what I'm doing. But if you read the Bible, he takes us to where he is at work. And that's the difference. That's where we begin to start experiencing him in a great and mighty way. So we see that Moses had 1,000 excuses why he couldn't do anything. And I looked at that. But I just wanted to share this a little bit. It'll be a story for another day. Why didn't God use Aaron? This is a guy that could speak. He knew the word. He was a strong oak. And he was confident in his walk with the Lord. But God chose to use Moses. And again, I can't do it. But again, God confirms, Moses, I'll do this for you. I'm with you. Eventually, the Lord says to him, okay, Aaron will be your mouthpiece. But I contemplated that for a long, long time. Lord, why didn't you just choose Aaron? And maybe you're sitting here today and you've got a lot of excuses why you can't do anything for Jesus. Lord, I'm not equipped. I just don't have what it takes. Let me tell you something. If you're feeling like that, you're in the right place. That's exactly where Jesus wants you. Because it's not about you. He can take you. He can use you. And he can mold you into what he wants for you, like he did with Moses. Let me tell you something. This dude was scared. He was scared. He was frightened. I would be. The tree was on fire, and the Lord said to me, I want you to go over there, and I want you to minister to this king. And I want you to lead my people out. I'd get weaker knees, and I'd probably also come up with 1,000 reasons why I couldn't. But you know what? The amazing thing about it is he becomes one with God and he starts walking with God. He becomes one with God and he starts walking with him and he starts experiencing God. He begins to experience him. I've been riding mountain bike. Lynn's laughing at me for the last 2 months. I just felt that I needed to, and it was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to get fit. And I looked up all the different things that I needed to do and what bike to get. And eventually I looked at this thing and I thought, I can't do this. I'm too big. I don't have the skills to ride a mountain bike. And I was watching everybody else, and I would look what everybody would put on their blog. I was going on to Google. And I thought, eventually, I had to come to a point where I had to get on that bicycle and just ride this thing myself. I had to ride my race and feel comfortable in the way that I was doing it. And I just started doing that. You know when they talk about where you become one with something? And I had to get to a point where I felt comfortable on that bicycle and just to become one with that bicycle. Where I got to that point where I had the feel of it and I could just go. And I see in doing that, there's just come a strength and amazing things have happened. But just going out and doing it. And by going out and doing it, God has strengthened me physically. I'm getting healthier. When I'm going out and doing what Jesus has called me, I start getting stronger. I start getting fitter in everything that he's called me to. I'm sure when Moses, a couple of times, those times that he stood before Pharaoh, he got to a point now where he was brave and strong. Because he knew now that God was with him. Amen? He wasn't afraid anymore. And that's what it's like with us. The more opportunities we take, the stronger we get, the fitter we get, the more confidence we have just to go. And then watch out for fear. It's a big thing. I just felt I needed to put this in. Watch out for fear. On the same track, we are always riding. Another story on the bicycle, the mountain bike. Every time I go out, I try and better myself. So I had my head down and I was pedaling with everything that I had. And I'd made friends with somebody else on the track. And I could hear this person whistling to my left. But I kept riding and the whistling got louder and louder. Eventually I stopped. And he's screaming from the other side of the track, "Watch out, watch out, there's a snake over there, and it's got its head up like it, and it's waiting for someone to come around the corner and bite them." Oh. Now what? So I'm not peddling now at 100 miles an hour, I'm peddling at 5. I don't know if you watch TV, a meerkat. Now he comes up like he sits on the hill like this, and his head's going like a chuk chuk, and his eyes are this size. I felt like that. I was trying to ride my bike, and now every corner I come around, I'm thinking there's a snake waiting to bite me. So I'm looking, looking, looking. And I thought, no, eventually I thought, no ways. I can't carry on like this. So I just carried on again. I never saw this thing. But that's what Satan does. He'll come and paralyze you with fear to try and stop you running your race. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen. You know what? You can't do it. God hasn't called you to do that. Yes, he has. He will equip you. He will equip you. David cried out that he didn't want to miss God. Let's read Psalm 143:10. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God." He cries out, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your spirit lead me on level ground." So we see that as with Moses, God takes us to where he is working. God is not going to ask you to dream up something that we can do for him. He's not going to ask you to dream up something that we can do for him. We need to be actively seeking to see where he is at work. Where is God at work around me? I believe that God is trying to get our attention with the different teachings that are becoming forth here on a Sunday. Abide in me. Partnering with God and going with the Holy Spirit. God is trying to get our attention. He's saying something to us. So he's always at work around you. I believe God's trying to get our attention. And he wants to take us to the next level. Often he builds some basic foundations in our lives before he gives us a larger role of service. And that's what he's been doing with us as a family. He's been building those foundations. And he's been raising us up. But it's also a time to step out and to be actively involved where God is at work. With that being said, don't bite off more than you can chew. I'll give you an example of a man in the Bible that did that. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Let's read Luke 22. Luke 22:33-34. And this was Peter, and then the Lord speaking to Peter. But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me 3 times. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Peter was zealous for God. And he said that he was willing to do anything. He would even die and go to the grave. But Jesus said to him, "Peter, then he said to him, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will crow this day before you, and you will deny me 3 times that you know me." Often we have a zeal to serve Jesus and we want to jump in. I want to ask you today to be careful and let God's Spirit lead you into what he's calling you to. Don't insist that God put you in a position that you think you should have. Our hearts can deceive us like Peter. He'll match our assignments and our character and faith in him. It'll match our assignments with our character and faith in him. I want to ask you this morning to take an inventory this morning of where your life efforts are being spent. How are you investing your time? What are your priorities? What am I presently doing that can be explained by God's activity in my life? You know what? I can only know a person. When Lily and I were dating, it was great, and I only knew her up to a point. But when we got married and we started living together, we started doing things together, that's when I only really got to know her. And it's the same when we walk with Jesus. When we're walking in that place of intimacy with him, it's then that I'll only truly get to know him. It's only then that I'll begin to experience him. We need to step out in faith. In the New Testament, our Lord says, go and make disciples of all nations. God is calling us as an army to rise up. He wants to take us to the next level. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to experience God? Or you just want to know about him? I want to experience him. I want to know his fullness in my life. As a young Christian, I always jumped in. Yes, I made a lot of mistakes. I'll be honest, I made a lot of mistakes. But in that time, I grew a lot. And I began to feel and I began to experience God. In the many times that we prayed for people in our homes, and even in business and the work situation, we prayed for a lot of people. And in those times, in praying for all those people, I got to know God. I got to feel him. I got to hear him. And his voice became clear for me. And in the same way with you, with your families and friends, look to see where God is working. Don't ignore it. Maybe God is trying to get your attention. Take a step of faith and start praying for those people. It's not somebody else's job, it's yours. It's yours and mine. Nothing's going to change out there until we step out. So we come to know God by experiencing him. And we only experience him where we go, where God is working and we're actively involved. Like Moses. Moses knew God. He stood at the waters and the sea parted because he knew God. He addressed Pharaoh because he knew God. Let's take our steps of faith and let's get involved. God's not always going to send you just to the Caribbean, like the couple that want to go to New Zealand. If you're not doing it here, what are you going to do over there? Church, get actively involved and let's start experiencing him. Amen? Could I ask you all to stand? I want to pray for you. Father, we love you so much, Lord, and we know that in our own strength, we are nothing. But Father, it's you that leads. And you, Father, you touch our hearts and you fill our hearts. The desire to do comes from you. Precious Jesus, I ask today that you would lead and that you would touch every heart here today. that we would be a people that would walk out experiencing you. Father, that we would be a people that would know you by experience. Father, I pray today for open eyes and open hearts to see you, to feel you, and to touch you, Lord. Father, even with our families, I want to ask today that you would get our attention, that you'd show us where you're at work with our families, that you'd show us where you are at work in our workplace. And precious Jesus, use us, give us the boldness and the strength to step out and to do. Like Moses, Lord, he had many excuses. And often we come before you with a lot of why we can't. But today I pray, Lord Jesus, that we are a people that would step out in faith, advancing your kingdom in every way. Today, Lord, that we would partner with your precious Spirit. Lead us and guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, be prosperous. To know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known, go and partner with the Holy Spirit. Experience him in what he's calling you to do and to act out in. Amen.